Praise the Lord. I hope you are blessed today and ready to listen to the Word of God. We pray that God would just bless your spirit and soul here today. God, in the name of Jesus, as we minister the Word today, as we speak that which you have us to speak, God, we ask, Lord, that you give victory to those that receive this. Anoint it and let it not return void in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Now then, we want to teach today on a subject that's familiar to the born-again Christian. The world runs from it. But I want to minister for a few minutes in the teaching today on the cross. We're talking about the cross of Calvary. Now, a lot more scripture than probably we can get covered. So some of it I may give the highlights and just leave you with the section of scripture that you might read at a later date, the whole thing. In Matthew, in the 27th chapter, verse 21 through verse 38. And there again, we may not cover all of that because it's going to be a big section of scripture and time wouldn't permit. Here, and we look in verse 21, the governor answered and said unto them, which of the twain will ye that I release unto you? And they said, Barabbas. Now this is leading up to what happened on Calvary. Pilate said unto them, what shall I say I do then with Jesus? He asked, what shall I do with Jesus, the one which is called the Christ? They all said unto him, let him be crucified. And the governor said, why? What evil has he done? But they cried out the more, saying, let him be crucified. And as we go on down through those verses, we find, then let's skip down to about 35, and it tells the whole story of what took place. But in verse 35, it comes down to the point of what the crucifixion is ready to take place. And they crucified him and parted his garments, casting lot that it might be fulfilled, which was prophesied by the prophets. They parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots. Verse 36 said, and sitting down, they watched him there. Verse 37, and set up over his head his accusation written, this is Jesus, the King of the Jews. Then were there two thieves crucified with him, one on the right and another on the left. This is the story of the cross, the cruel story of the cross. He could have called 10,000 angels, but he chose to die instead. That was from Matthew chapter 27, verse 21 through 38, just reading the highlight verses there. In John, the 19th chapter, in verse 17, and reading through verse 24. And he, bearing his cross, went forth into a place called the place of the skull, which is called in Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified him and two other with him, one on either side and Jesus in the midst. And Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross, and the writing was Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. The title then read many of the Jews, for the place where Jesus was crucified was nigh to the city, and it was written in the Hebrew and Greek and Latin. Then said the chief priest of the Jews to Pilate, write not the King of the Jews, but that he said, I am the King of the Jews. Pilate answered, what I have written, I have written. Then the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, took his garment and made four parts, to every soldier a part, and also his coat. Now the coat was without seam, woven from the top throughout. In verse 34, and they said, therefore among themselves, let us not rent it, but cast lots for it, who it shall be, that the scripture might be fulfilled, which said, they parted my raiment among them, and for the vesture did they cast lots. These things therefore the soldiers did. This gives, between Matthew and John, gives the total picture of what took place on Calvary. We found him in the Garden of Gethsemane with his disciples asleep. The Bible said he went a little further. He found a place used to pray. And he said, God, not my will, but thine be done. He wanted that bitter cup to pass from him, but he was willing to fulfill that which he came to die, that you and I might have life. Then in Philippians, the second chapter, and in verse 5 through verse 12. Then he went on to say these words. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no retribution, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of man. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also has highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in the earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obey, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. He became that which Isaac asked Abraham at the time Abraham was to sacrifice Isaac. He said, Daddy, the fire, the wood, but where is the sacrifice? Abraham's prophetic utterance came forth, and he said, God will provide for himself a lamb. Jesus became that lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world. In the foreknowledge of God, it came to the time of the cross, the cruelest death that a human could bear, and they brought upon him the shame and the mockery and all that, and he endured the suffering and the cross that he might fulfill the will and plan of God. Paul, the writer of Hebrews, tells us in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down on the right hand of the throne of God. This is what he did for you and for me. While we were yet in our sins, the Bible said that Christ, he was willing and he did die for us. This is the message of the cross. Without the cross, there'd be no redemption. It all hinges at the cross. This is reason that the mockery that the world does for Christmas, they do for Easter, and they, you know, use the Easter bunny and they use Santa Claus for Christmas. I'm telling you, this is a mockery of God, because the cross is what this thing is all about. If there had been no shedding of the blood, if there had been no experience of the cross, then you and I today would be hopelessly lost without a Savior. Now then, we want to look in Isaiah in chapter 53, and here 8 verses gives us an understanding of the working of that took place on the cross of Calvary. Then Isaiah 53 in verse 1. Who has believed our report, and whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him a tender plant, and as a root out of the dry ground. He has no form nor countenance, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrow and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he has bore our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. In verse 8, he was then taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgressions of my people was he stricken. Here it lets us have an understanding of the working of the cross of Calvary. He bore our iniquities there in verse 5, all of our transgressions. This was he wounded for. And by his stripes, the close of verse 5 says, by his stripes we are healed. And it goes on to tell us how that he was afflicted and all these things, and asked who shall declare his generation. He paid the price that you and I could live. He died that you and I could have life. The working of Calvary. Then looking back to the New Testament in Ephesians 2 and 16, verse 16 says these words, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. He also stated, other sheep have I which am not of this fold, I must bring also. The work of Calvary made it possible for the Jew to be saved and for the Gentile to be saved. Now we're down at the close of the Gentile age, where Luke the 21st chapter said, until the time of the Gentile be fulfilled. And now it's getting ready to go back to the Jew. America better wake up, because I don't believe they're going to be any America after God takes out the church. There's nothing left here worth saving, and America will fall. And I'm not preaching or teaching doom. I'm telling you the word of God. But here the working of the cross of Calvary brought about life for both the Jew and the Gentile. And this is the other sheep which he brought, which is us, the Gentile. And now in that day, there's going to be one fold. Now let's look at Matthew, and let's look at chapter 10, verse 38. We find these words, And he that taketh not his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. This tells you and I today that we must bear the burdens of the cross. Even though Christ paid the price for it, we must be willing to take up that cross. We must be willing to love him, to serve him for what he did for us on Calvary. Now in Matthew 16 and 24, we find these words, and then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up the cross and follow me. I've found in the Word of God, when God repeats something more than one time, it's important. And that's the reason I covered both of these scriptures, because here verifies the fact, the bearing of the cross. We must step forth. And we must have a burden for the cross. We must carry the message of the cross. And we must tell a lost and dying world they need to be saved. Then in Mark, and this is in, well, chapter 10, verse 21. It says these words. Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, one thing thou likest, go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasures in heaven, and come, take up the cross and follow me. This is where that Jesus said to that rich man, and he was burdened. The Bible said in the next verse, chapter 10 and 22, and he was sad at that saying and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. He based his experience of holding on to his possessions instead of taking up the cross and following Jesus. You got to forsake all, my friend. The cross of Calvary is the reason you're saved today. Take up that cross, follow him, and accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and follow him all the days of your life, and give praise and glory to him in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, we Come at this time and pray for those that's listening to this teaching today on the cross. If they're not saved today, they will come to know Jesus as Lord and Savior. And if they're a backslider, they'll come back. And if they're a Christian that's never really got into this thing and took up the cross, let them today take on a burden of the cross. For the cross is the reason we have eternal life, and the cross is why we're saved. God bless you till we come to you in another teaching. Amen and amen.